Amen. Well, I'm glad I know that too, don't you? Aren't you? That's a real blessing. Thank you, men, very, very much. Well, it sure is good to be here. I appreciate the invite. This is my first time here too, Orth Baptist Church, and I'm very grateful for the invitation, Brother Weaver, and we've known people from this church, and so it's very good to get to be here, and I'm looking forward to hearing Brother Joe Arthur preach as well. And so I'm just going to try to get it started off and get out of the way and enjoy the preaching. But I'm glad you're having a Bible conference. The Bible itself talks about how blessed the people are that give heed to the Word of God, and so it's good for us. And you're having two preachers tonight, and so that, you know, one thing I found, though, you can't overdose on the Bible, that's for sure. And so I'm going to direct your attention tonight, if you would please, to Genesis chapter 25, Genesis 25, and if you'll stand in honor of God's Word tonight, we'll read a few verses here together. Enjoy the music here this evening, enjoyed the children singing, and all the parents now can rest. Everything's all right. They did great. That was a blessing. Absolutely, and enjoyed the choir special and then the quartet, and so really was a blessing. So Genesis 25 tonight, Genesis 25, and just felt led to preach along the lines of Jacob's life, the life of Jacob. And so let's begin reading in Genesis 25 and verse number 19. 25:19. These are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel the Syrian of Padanaram, sister to Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her. Now, you know you're going to have a hard time as a parent if they're fighting before they're ever born. And she said, "Why is it so? If it be so, why am I thus, rather?" And she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said, "Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, all over like an hairy garment. And they called his name Esau, which means red. That was his name. Can you imagine his baby pictures? Red, all over like a hairy garment. Bunch of it. Red. That's what they called him. After that, it says, came his brother out. Watch this now. And his hand took hold on Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob, which means heel grabber. They said, "Isn't that cute? Look, he grabbed his brother's heel." Yeah, it was cute then. But he's going to be tripping him up the rest of his life. Heel grabber. His name was called Jacob, and Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. We're talking about a Cabela's man. Yeah, Bass Pro Shop. And Jacob was a plain man. That's Hebrew for mama's boy. Dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. I had some this morning, by the way. My son killed a deer this year. We were real excited about that. Had sausage, deer sausage this morning. So this verse really means a lot to me. See, hunting is in the Bible. Okay, that was a stretch. But in any case, Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. I want to ask you tonight, are you in tune with God's will? Are you in tune with God's will? And I believe what we can see from the life of Jacob, there's many lessons that we could see from the life of Jacob. But certainly one thing we can see from his life is how that God tunes a man. God tunes a man. Now, it's going to take God 20 years and more, really, to tune the life of Jacob. I hope it doesn't take you that long. But I'm here tonight to say to you that God loves you just the way you are, but He loves you way too much to leave you that way. You can come just as you are, but He won't leave you that way. He begins a process of change. And so, Father, tonight I pray that You'd bless the preaching in this conference. I pray for my dear friend and brother, Brother Joe Arthur. I'm looking forward to hearing him preach. And I just pray that tonight You'd help me just to get things started, dear God, in this conference. We know that our lives need to be in tune with You. We see so many people in the world, dear God, even as I was traveling here and in this Metroplex area and the Fort Worth, the Dallas area, God, and so many people who live here and so many lives that are out of tune. It's easy to see that they're out of tune with Your will. And God, there ought to be churches in this area that are in tune with Your will, a pastor who's in tune with Your will, and families that are in tune. So God, I pray, even as You've used these thoughts to tune my life, even just reflecting on it and preparing for the message, God, I know I have tuning that You need to do in my life, and so I want to pray for that. And so, Father, I just pray for Your help now. Help me to manage time well and to get across what ought to be in the time that we have here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I love to hear good quartet music like we heard tonight. Like we heard tonight. Now, I told Brother Weaver, as you know, quartet had a little run at it getting started. Man, good job hanging with that. That's what you've got to do. He said, Brother Weaver was telling me that's never happened, so I was thinking God's given a sermon illustration right here for this message. So maybe I'm the Jonah that has caused that. I don't know. I'm not saying you're Nineveh, but I'm just saying that. Sorry. Didn't think that one all the way through. Sorry. But I love good quartet music, you know, where all those parts are just blending, harmonizing, coming together. Now, I can't sing. In my mind, I think I can. But others tell me otherwise. But I love to hear as that the bass and the high tenor and the baritone and the lead, just how that they're all just coming together, singing their own individual parts. And when you hear it by itself or a choir like we heard tonight, when you hear the parts individually, I mean, it sounds good, but it doesn't sound as good as when you just put it all together. I love it. Love to hear it. But I've learned this, there are many things that can go wrong in a song. Have you noticed that? You can come in on the wrong note. You can sing the wrong words. I've written a lot of songs. You know what I mean? Or rewritten a lot of songs, I should say. You can add notes, add words. Come in too early. Have you ever done that? Isn't that embarrassing? Maybe during congregational singing, you're singing a solo. Came in too early, too strong. There's a lot of things that can go wrong in music. If tonight we were talking about Isaac and Rebecca, Jacob and Esau as the Isaac family singers. It even sounds like a good name for a quartet, doesn't it? The Isaac family singers. I'm saying to you tonight that every one of them, they're off. They're all off. In their individual positions, they're off. Daddy, singing a new song that God did not give him. He was not singing it the way that God was writing it. Rebecca was singing the right words, but she came in too early. Jacob followed suit, and Esau was singing mad. The Isaac family singers. I want to ask you tonight, though, is your life in tune with God's will? Is your life in tune with God's will? You know, it's easy for you to think everybody else is wrong. I heard about that guy that was traveling, you know, like on an interstate like we travel today, and his wife called him and said, "Hey, listen, hon, on your way home, be careful. There's a man that's going the wrong way on the interstate." He said, "Listen, It's not just one man, it's a bunch of them that's going the wrong way. Are you in tune with God's will? Are you in tune? Isn't it true that sometimes we sing our own music? Isn't it true that sometimes we get out ahead of God? Isn't it sometimes that maybe we sing with the wrong spirit, wrong attitude, or add a few notes of our own? Hey, wait a minute, I'm saying to you tonight that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ deserves for us to be in tune, in harmony with Him. This world desperately needs to hear the message of the Word of God, and it's only going to hear it clearly if you and I are in tune. I want to ask you tonight, as you're leading your family, sir, as you're the father of that family, is your life in tune with God's will? Because your life is having an impact on your wife and on your kids. Is your life in tune with God's will? Needs to be in tune. I understand, you know, that a piano along the way has got to be tuned, doesn't it? Because of use, it's got to be tuned. Someone will come in and they will use a tuner, right? Is that the technical term? Sounds like a good Kentucky word to me. That's where I'm from. Use a tuner on this. Yeah. Here's what you can't do. You cannot tune a piano by another piano that's out of tune. If you're going to tune that piano, it's got to be by a tuner that is in tune. Listen, you can't tune your life by somebody else's life that's off. And listen, that's why if you're in a position of leadership, Sunday school teacher, pastor of a church, leading a family, being a mom, being a dad, listen, that's why it's so important tonight that your life is in tune, because that younger generation is looking at you. Hey, listen, kids growing up in church, they ought to come to church and see that this is a happy place, that this is a joyful place, because the world out there sure is doing a good job of making the world look like it's the best place to be. And then people come to church and they're down in the mouth and sad and like it's painful to come to church. No, my friend, it ought to be a joyful experience to come to church, and it is a joyful experience to come to church if your life is in tune with the Word of God. Yes. I think our lives are maybe more like a guitar rather than a piano. A guitar's got to be tuned every time it's used. A piano will hold its tune longer, of course, than a guitar will. Listen, every single day you and I need to be tuned. I'm saying to you tonight that there is a tuner. There is a way for you and I to know if our lives are in tune with the Word of God. The tuner, the standard tonight, is none other than God's Word. Now, our music director back home, and I understand that, you know, there's an app that tells what note you're singing. It's a little intimidating. Can you imagine, Brother Arthur, if in our churches we had a man that walked around with that app on his iPad and came close to where you were singing to see if you were on or off? How'd that be? Come over here, you get a little bit nervous? Huh? How we doing? Come over here and see how you... He said, no, don't come this way. You know what a Bible conference is all about? The Holy Spirit of God taking His Word and coming over here and saying, how's your family doing with the Word of God? How's your life doing? Is your life in tune? Hey, listen, the Holy Spirit of God has the authority to do that, and I believe in every time the Word of God is open, that's exactly what God wants to do, and He's doing it with every life, and by the way, He's doing it with my life as well, and the preacher's lives, and you know what God does? Just like a choir director will do every now and then when they're in practice, He'll stop and say, well, wait a minute, hang on, the tenors are off. Not always the tenors, but I'm saying... Sopranos are off, altos, okay, hang on, let's hear that alto part. What will they do? They'll go over it and they'll play that part. Let the bass hear their notes, hear their parts. Okay, now the tenors, okay, now the sopranos. All right, okay, now let's put it all back together. All right, so that's what a Bible conference is like. It's like God is saying, okay, wait a minute, how about a daddy's part? How about mom's part? How about that spiritual leaders part? How about the boys and girls here tonight? Your lives need to be in tune with the Word of God as well. Listen, this is not just for adults. This is for every member of this church family and the churches that are represented here. It's like God is saying, wait a minute, somebody over here is a little bit off key. Or somebody over here. And what God is going to do is He's going to work because He's relentless. And listen, He loves you just the way you are, but He loves you way too much to leave you that way. And His message, listen, the message of the gospel is way too important for us to be off. We've got to get it right. Our lives got to get it right. I want to ask tonight if everybody in here is in tune with the will of God. Wouldn't that be great if at the end of this Bible conference that every single life that's represented here, every single life, I wish there was a way that we could just go and analyze every single life. Hey, listen, it's not for us to do that, but God is doing that tonight. He's doing that. He's going to use His Word to check and see how you're doing. They were off. Listen, Isaac knew what God's will was. We read it, didn't we? We read it. It was very, very clear that God said, I'm going to bless the younger. Now, that was not typical, but have you found that God sometimes does things that are not typical? He doesn't do things the way that you think He's going to do. And so God said, I'm going to bless the younger. Listen, this is a big deal. Now, I've got to establish this as far as our context. This was a big deal because God said, I'm going to bless Abram and his seed. And through his seed, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. That's why we're here tonight. Because God fulfilled His promise to Abraham. Father Abraham had many sons. And many sons have Father Abraham. See, God wanted to bless him, and He wanted to use him. You're here tonight because God wants to bless your life, and God wants to use your life. So that through your life, others might be blessed. God said, I'm going to bless Abraham. And then after Abraham came Isaac. And so now, they're at a very pivotal time because a new generation is coming to the scene. The blessing and the purpose of God must continue to the next generation. Can I say tonight that I believe that we are at a very pivotal time in our nation's history. We are at a very pivotal time in the history of our world. We are at a very pivotal time in the history of our churches as they are right now. Hey, listen, there's a new generation that is coming up. Will they take this Bible and take it to the next generation? It largely depends on what you and I do. Isaac knew. He knew that God wanted to bless Jacob. Everybody agree with that? Or I'm going to start all over here tonight. He knew it, didn't he? He knew what God's will was. And even if it didn't make sense to him, he was supposed to apply God's word to his life. Even if it wasn't what he liked, it's what he was supposed to do. Even if it wasn't the song that he wanted to sing, it's what he was instructed to sing. But Isaac liked Esau, his boy, his son, his mighty hunter, Red Man. Esau, the mighty hunter. Well, the time came where Isaac thought, and this goes into chapter 27, Isaac thought that he was going to die. He was elderly, and his eyesight wasn't very good, and he was sick, and he thought he's going to die. Now listen, he's actually going to live quite a few more years. But most men, when they get the slightest way sick, think, they're going to die. I'm going to die. I'll never forget a couple years ago I got the flu, the very first time I got the flu, and I thought I was going to die. And there in the bed, I cried out to God, how long, O Lord, how long shall I dwell in this body of pain and sickness? Thought I was going to die. Had kidney stones a few years back, and man, I'm telling you, that was terrible. I thought for sure, I'd just soon die right there. My little boy after that was down on his knees and hands, and I said, "Son, what's wrong with you?" He said, "I got kidney stones." He was mocking me. Isaac thought he was going to die. And he said, "Before I die, I know I've got to bless the son that's going to be the one through whom the blessing of God is going to go." And so he said, "Quick, Esau, come. Before I die, I want to have one more meal, that smoked meat." Hey, listen, the only smoking that Baptist men ought to do is smoking meat. I love smoked meat. We go to men's events up in Stillwater, Oklahoma, and they prepare over 1,000 pounds of smoked meat. I'm talking about, you know, that smoked meat, that brisket, and that, man, I'm telling you, it's just good stuff. And for days, you can still smell it on your fingers, you know, just... Man, if I could wear that like a cologne, I think I would. That's awesome smell. That smoked meat. Isaac said, "I love that smoked meat, and I want to have just one more meal, that smoked meat. And so, son, you go out and hunt, bring that meat back like I love, and I'll bless you." Now listen, he was out of God's will. God's will, if we could picture it, would run right here. It's very, very narrow. He does not accommodate everybody else's will. Isaac says, "I'm just going to get off a little bit. Instead of blessing Jacob, I'm going to bless my other son, Esau." Rebecca read it on Facebook. Not really, she overheard. Now, wait a minute, can I stop right there and say that's a problem? Because husbands and wives are supposed to talk. In fact, it's like a new revelation to Brother Arnold. In fact, if you look at it in this chapter, never at one time is the whole family together. It was Isaac and Esau, and then it was Rebecca and Jacob, and then it was Jacob and Isaac. They're never together all at one time. Hey, listen, our families are in trouble because we're never together at one time. I'm telling you, we need to get back to the place where we have time at the dinner table and time in the living room together and not with our faces on a screen. I'm talking about interacting, talking with one another. I wonder if you're in tune with that. Rebecca said, "Quick, Jacob, come. Come here, my boy. Your daddy. Right there. Your daddy wants to bless Esau, and you know, and I know, that you're the one, my boy. Come here. You're the one that God wants to bless and use, not Esau. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to go out there, and I want you to kill a goat, and I want you to bring that goat in here, and we're going to deceive your daddy, and we're going to deceive him and make him think that you're Esau, and he's going to bless you, and God's will is going to be done, and we're going to have to help God just a little bit." But mama, Jacob said, "Daddy will know that I'm not Esau." She said, "I've got it all figured out, son. Just go do what I said." And so she went and did what he went and did what she said, came back, and she put that goat's hair on the back of his hand, both of them, and on the back of his neck. I just want to stop right there and say, Esau was one hairy dude. If your back of your hand is like a goat, no wonder they called you hairy Esau man. Whoa. She said, "Put some of your brother's camo on. Put some of his hunting clothes on and come in here and you go into your daddy right now. Go, 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 go." Isaac can't see very well. I believe that's also symbolic of his spiritual life. He can't see very well, and he says, "Who is it?" And he says, "It's Esau. How is it, my son, that you have already come back with game?" He said, "God bless me." That's what he said. He lied. He said, "I am Esau." Isaac knew something was up. He said, "The voice is Jacob's." He said, "Come here." He smelled him. Oh, that's Esau. He felt his hands. That's Esau. said, "Who is it, my son?" Again, Jacob lied and said, "I am Esau. I am Esau." He was lying. He was lying to his own dad to get a blessing. Abraham Lincoln said that no man has a good enough memory to be a successful liar. Heard about this man that was in court, and he was there, you know, trying to get some money out of the court there and out of the individual, and he couldn't raise his arm, and the judge asked him, said, how high can you raise your arm? He said, about like that right there. He said, now how high could you raise it before the accident? He said, like that. Lying to get a blessing. Now, Isaac placed his hand upon his son's head, thinking it was Esau, out of the will of God, passed the blessing on. Jacob left. The Bible says scarcely had he left, but the real Esau came. And Isaac said, "Who is it?" He said, "It's Esau. Me come back. Me kill game. You eat, you bless me." And Isaac realized what had happened. His younger brother, the hill grabber, had done it. I want to ask you something tonight. Was Jacob the one that was supposed to be blessed? Yes. So you say, well, no big deal. I mean, he was blessed. It's okay. No, wait a minute. The way he went about it was wrong. Rebecca was right. Jacob was the one that was supposed to be blessed, but the way she went about it was wrong. She was manipulating. Esau, man, he is just irate. He says, as soon as my daddy dies, then I'm going to kill my brother. He was way off. He was out of tune. Rebecca was out of tune. Jacob was out of tune. But may I submit to you tonight that it began with a man who knew what God's will was, but he got out of God's will. And as a result, it had a domino in effect. Rebecca got out of God's will. Jacob got out of God's will. Esau got out of God's will. And before you know it, they're all off key. Rebecca said, "Son, you better run." And so for the next 20 years, Jacob was a man whose life was on the run. He headed to Paddan Aram with a future ahead of him that he had no idea how it was going to work out. Behind him was a troubled past. Last thing he knew, there was his brother Esau who wanted to kill him. He had a troubled past and an uncertain future. And he's out there in the middle of nowhere. But if you know the story, God showed up to Jacob on a ladder that descended from heaven to earth. It did not ascend from earth to heaven. It came down from heaven down to earth. You say, well, why do you make that point? Because it was not Jacob who was seeking God. It was God who was seeking Jacob. And the angels of God were ascending and descending, ascending, ascending. Hey, isn't this a blessing? That out there in the middle of nowhere was a fugitive who had a troubled past and an uncertain future, but there was a God in heaven who cared about that man whose life was out of tune, and God said, I can still use him, but I've got to change him. And that might be somebody here. Your life is out of tune with God. You've got a troubled past. You've got an uncertain future, but there's a God in heaven who knows your name, my friend. Heard about a church down in Florida that had a unique situation that happened in the middle of the service. The pastor was literally preaching about Jacob, and from the back door came a lady running, literally running, and came in and sat down on about the third or fourth pew. The preacher thought, well, this is kind of strange. Had never had that happen before. Well, he learned later that the whole building was surrounded by the police. This lady was literally on the run. She came in here and heard a message about a man named Jacob whose life was on the run. Can you imagine? She probably thought, this whole message is pointed right at me. And tonight, it may not be that you ran into this building, but it may be that you're running from something. You're running from somebody. Maybe you're running from God. And He knows right where you are. And in His mercy, and in His goodness, He's come right here where you are. And his son came. Well, isn't this good, how that he told Nathaniel. You think it's amazing that I knew you and saw you before you were there under the tree? You'll see the angels of God ascending and descending, ascending and descending on the Son of Man. That means Jesus is the ladder. He's the only way for us to go to heaven, to have access to the Father, and he knows your name. God's going to come around with his word to analyze, is your life in tune with the will of God? Are you living more for the things of this earth, living by the flesh? If you're living by the flesh and living by sight, you're living for things that are out of God's will. Are you manipulating? Are you lying to cover your tracks? Are you angry? All of the above would mean you're out of tune with God's will. And God's going to go to work to tune you. Are you willing to be tuned? Father, tonight I thank you for the help that you've given us. We sure want to be tuned to your will. All of us need work. Pray that you'd bless God in this conference. Lord, I just can't help but think about the mission that was taking place there in the life of Jacob, and how that as a result of your work then, you bless us now. And God, if I could think 100 to 200 years past this meeting tonight, would there be people blessed because we got things right with you? Lord God, and just immediately, the things that ought to be right with you. Help us now, I pray. In the remainder of this Bible conference, I pray that you bless the singing. Bless Brother Arthur as he comes to preach. God, just do a work in us that we need. In Jesus' name, amen.